5-8-104's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend. And the loudmouth.
It's time, episode number 100, anywhere you are and by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing. We thank you for choosing this podcast. Grant, we made it to 100 shows! 100 hours of wasted time.
I guess so.
And we've made enough to cover the cost of the microphone. Yay!
We're $2 over that.
Congratulations on the 100th show, son.
Thanks, man.
It's been a long road. What was the date of our first show again? You want to look
it
that
was,
up?
It was sometime in August. We didn't post it until...
Like August 20. Of 2019?
Yeah.
Jesus. Really?
Yep, it was after a long day of fall camp for me. My freshman year,
right. So, well, obviously we're playing Centuries by Fallout Boy because that's where we're at. We're at the Century
we
mark
posted
today.
The first show October 22nd, 2019.
Yes, and I remember, of course, we did the anniversary show in October, but to get to 100, so this is episode 23 of the second season. We did 77 in the first season, and so this, by my Fargo South math, tells me that we're at the big hundo tonight. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. I mean, new year, 100th show, we're celebrating all over the place.
Right?
I love it. So, well, anyway, on the show tonight, we have, of course, we've got playoff weekend coming up. We'll break down all the NFL action for you. 6 games, super wild card. Super wild card weekend, of course. I don't know how I feel about it. First of all, the fact that we have 3 games on Saturday, 3 games on Sunday, followed by the national championship game on Monday, can't beat that. I mean, that's very not bad.
Very not bad.
Super wild card weekend. I forgot the music to accompany that, Grant. I'm sorry about that.
No, you didn't.
Super wild card! Anyway. I don't know why I find that funny, but
it's funny.
I do.
It's
so funny. But anyway, so we'll talk about that. We're actually going to talk, of course, on the 100th show. Why wouldn't we talk a little puck?
Yeah.
We got some puck to discuss tonight.
Yeah, do you have any Randy Muller pulled up?
So, hey, you know, I may have to play some Randy Muller later. I haven't, but that's good to know. I think I may have to play a little bit of Randy Muller later. We're probably overdue, especially for 100th show. We need to bust out some Randy Muller. Little Bison basketball news. Talk about as we preview the Summit League weekend. I know we mentioned the NCAA tournament is going to play all their games in Indianapolis. I have a proposal, however, that we'll discuss on the show, and you know what it's going to be.
I do.
So we'll talk about that later. A brief preview of the national title game. We are going to do a show Monday that will be posted before the national title game. So we will save our preview of the national championship game between Alabama and Ohio State. We will talk about it briefly at the end here, time permitting. But rest assured, we will have a full Monday show to break down not only the NFL playoff games of the weekend, but we will talk about the national championship game upcoming between Alabama and Ohio State. Some COVID issues have popped up at Ohio State, but so far the game is on.
Do we know what position group?
We don't.
Seriously?
They've been rather secretive about that, to say the least.
It's not Justin Fields, they're good.
Right. Also, this day in history, very important for certain football fans of a certain team known as the Bison.
Bison.
So we'll talk about that later. But if it's the 100th show, there's only one thing we could start off talking about, and that's the National Football League. Super wild card weekend. Good lord. It's really? Super wild card weekend.
Isn't it funny, even when 17 make the playoffs, the Vikings don't make the playoffs?
We're done talking about the Vikings. The only thing we're going to relate to the Vikings, we'll get to it in remind me to get to in case I forget, by the way.
Is the 14th draft pick.
No, there's a Viking connection I want to talk about in the Browns game, other than the obvious one.
Kevin Stefanski.
Right, but there's more to the story that I will enlighten and intrigue you with later in the in the show here when we talk about the game. But let's get to it. We start in Buffalo.
The Bills.
Colts are 6.5-point underdogs to the Bills. Colts come in 11-5. The over-under is 51. For the playoff games, we are going to take seriously the over-under bets.
Okay.
So we're going to add that.
Why are we taking those seriously?
Because we don't have any. We only have six games to pick.
Okay.
So we need to pick the over-unders as well.
Okay. Well, the picking's over. This is for fun now.
No.
I won the picks contest.
You won the regular season picks contest.
There was no postseason last year. Do not make up.
Oh, we're playing a postseason contest. Absolutely.
There wasn't one last year.
Are you saying
because? Because I won this year, we don't have to make a postseason, so you win. Is it? Because last year when you won, we didn't do this. So
we're doing a postseason picks contest.
Oh no! Now we started this year, and I.
So are you?
I see how this works.
So what are you saying? Are you saying you're too chicken to pick against me?
No, I'm saying that you want to add on another contest, which I think is not fair. Because
so you're scared.
No, because last year you won and I didn't say anything about it.
Well, last year I won.
You didn't add on the postseason.
Last year I won the playoffs contest too, so it doesn't really matter.
We never had a postseason contest.
Oh, yes, we did. I kept track.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Is there
I won by three games, if incidentally, for the record.
Is there statistical evidence that proves
there is. It's in this pile of paper over here.
Oh, okay. All right.
So.
Good luck finding it.
Yeah, well, good luck finding it. It's in there. I mean.
You sure it's in there?
For those of you who don't know, in the Legend in the Loudmouth studio set up here, there is a massive pile of paper, which I call show prep. And every bit of show prep I've done over the past year is in this pile. So
it's in there somewhere.
The legend may be accusing me of not having the information,
which
but he's sorely mistaken because all the show prep I've done, including bowl picks, all of our bits, everything is in this pile. And I don't know why the Loudmouth or the legend would think that the Loudmouth wouldn't have that information on ready availability.
We didn't even do this last year, but whatever.
Okay, well, we're doing it this year, right? So are we on? Are we agreed? We're picking against the spread, and we're picking over-unders.
So there's a postseason contest.
This is, separate from the... You are the regular season winner, grand champion, all hail, la, 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 la. So...
Okay.
This is a separate contest, postseason only.
I didn't do this last year, but whatever.
Whatever. Anyway, can we get to the game now?
Yes.
Can we talk about it now? All right. Colts 11-5 at the 13-3 Bills. 6.5-point favorites for the Bills. Over under is 51. You know I have a big for teams that finish in the top 10 in each category.
No.
Buffalo is not one of those teams. Colts are. Colts 10th ranked offense in the NFL.
Are you picking the Colts based
just,
on
can that? Can I lay out the evidence, Your Honor?
Yes, but you're wrong either way.
Well, I'm wrong either way. What makes you think I'm not going to take Buffalo? Can I finish the bit?
Sure.
Okay. You know, we're 5 minutes into the show, and we're already 8 minutes into the show.
Yeah.
And you and I already can't agree on even the format of these things. I thought, 2021 is not starting out well. Anyway, we'll move on.
Okay.
Bills, second-ranked offense in the NFL, tied for second, I should say. Not a very good running team. 20th in the league in rushing offense. 14th-ranked defense. Josh Allen, fans at the Bills Stadium. What do we call it now?
Bill Stadium.
Used to be Rich Stadium, Orchard Park, whatever you want to call it.
New Era Field.
New Era. That didn't last very long, did it? Bills are 11-5 against the spread this year. That makes me happy. Josh Allen is a touchdown. All he needs to do is win by a touchdown. That makes me happy. I think the Colts, despite their running game, and the Bills are nothing special on defense, but Indianapolis, while it has that top 10 defense that I like, 20th against the pass. The Bills are the third best passing team in the league. The Bills are less than a touchdown favorite. That's perfect. They'll easily win by a touchdown. And I do believe they're going to cover, and I do believe also that the Colts are going to score enough to make it competitive. At the end of the day, I feel that the Bills at home will go over. Give me the Bills, -6.5, and the over of 51.
Okay, well, the over is going to happen. Okay. And the Colts have a duck hunter at quarterback. If they can throw the ball consistently, he looks uncomfortable. He looks like Kirk when he's in pain.
it!
And he throws the ball. I'm just like, let's see. The Colts have a good running offense, but when you take the run away, Rivers struggles because he can't use the run as a crutch. You know, has to throw it consistently, which he's deteriorated over time, and that was the shell of his former self with passing the ball. I like the Colts' defense, but the guy named Josh Allen on the other side, he's pretty good, what I heard, and Stephon Diggs is a pretty good receiver. And the running game is ranked, what, 20th?
The Bills? Yeah, 20th ranked rushing offense.
Yeah, Zach Moss, Devin Singletary, that's good enough. Bills, they'll cover over.
Alright, so Bills cover over. We're both calling for Bills cover over the 6.5 points in this one. Alright, we move to Saturday afternoon, late afternoon. And this ought to be an interesting one, just because of the teams involved and the offensive makeup, but it's the playoff version.
Hit that horn! Hit that horn! Gotta get a new horn!
We're mediocre horn. I don't really know what to make of the Rams right now.
Uncertain who will start this game for the Rams.
Goff.
I think it'll be Goff.
It's the playoffs, Goff.
Rams at 10-6 travel to the 12-4 Seahawks. Seahawks 3.5 point favorites with
5-0 at Lumen Field.
With a 42.5 over under. Teams split the regular season series this year. Seahawks won 20-9 here a few weeks ago in a miserable football game. Rams won 23-16 earlier this year. Weird dichotomy in this game. Rams have the number one ranked defense in the league and number one against the pass. Seattle is the only team playing this weekend that has bottom half ranked offense and defense.
They're bottom ranked in offense.
They are 17th ranked in offense and the 22nd ranked defense. But it is the bottom half.
Right, but it's still top 20 offense. The Vikings.
There are only 32 teams in the league. I don't give a shit if they're a top 20 offense.
Tell me again why the Vikings are a better ranked offense than Seattle. That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, because the Vikings get the ball more because they give up more points. True. That's probably why.
True.
I don't get the Seahawks. I do.
I don't get either.
I get the Seahawks because they have Russell Wilson, and that's why they're going to win.
Right? No, you're right.
Because no matter what, again, we talk about quarterbacks making differences and elite quarterbacks. Jared Goff is not going to win a game for your team. Russell Wilson will.
Right.
And that's why they're 12-4, despite having bottom half ranked offense and bottom half ranked defense. They do have the number 5 rush defense, so right. You can't run the ball very well on them. Then they give up a ton of passing yards. But at the end of the day, they're a 3.5 point favorite over a Rams team that's going to struggle to score points. Neither of these games hit the 42.5 number during the season. I don't think this one will either. I don't think the Seahawks will need to score much, and this is kind of, to me, I've joked before that this is a game that's usually like I titled the Blackjack Bowl because it's first to 21 wins.
Right.
And I think in this game, 21 points wins. Give me the Seahawks. I will take the Seahawks minus the 3.5 and the under of 40 on the 42.5.
No, you're right on the under. If Goff was healthy, I'd pick the Rams. Because the Rams match up really...
He might be healthy. You don't know. As of tonight, we don't know.
But when you're a week off of thumb surgery, I don't think you're 100%. Only a week off. Maybe 2 or 3 weeks
Even
off.
If he was 100%, I wouldn't take him.
I would if he was 100%. The Rams have the Seahawks number for some bizarre reason.
This year. They split.
They split. That's true. But they've won, what, 5 of the last 8 meetings? I mean, they've won more than they've lost against a good Seattle team.
In a recent game with the Rams got 9 points.
Right?
9.
Right?
Against the 22nd ranked defense.
And the Seahawks are 5-0 at home in the playoffs under Pete Carroll. And that's another reason why I'm taking Seattle, because if it's a one possession game, you know Russell's going to find some bizarre way to win the game. He just manages to do it. I don't know how.
Yeah, he'll make the play.
But he'll make the play to win the game. It's going to bite them in the ass if they play Green Bay or Tampa or any other team they play. But against the Rams, it's good enough. I'm taking Seattle in the 3 points.
Oh, 3.5.
3.5, yeah.
Minus the 3.5.
And the under because Goff, because both offenses are struggling.
By the way, just for your edification and to talk about the home field, First time in NFL history, Home teams this year in 256 games, 127, 128, and one.
Losers.
Under 500. Now, the easy argument to make here is no fans. right?
So it's basically neutral site games overall.
In a lot of ways. But overall, Vegas odds favored the home team by just an average of 1 point per game. That's the lowest margin ever, according to the Vegas books. So that's why this year has been so hard. However, this isn't just a pandemic thing, okay? Home winning percentages have dropped from 60% to about 55.5% in the last 10 years, okay? So this is a small but significant trend.
Right.
And then when there's no crowd juice and there's no influence of the referees by a crowd,
and that hurts teams.
And there's instant replay for now that has been in place in some way, shape, or form for 20 years to eliminate some of that edge.
That's going to hurt a team like Seattle.
The NFL, and that's why this is such a great gambling league, is it's a 50-50 proposition every time you strap them on.
Right. Right? No, I think you're absolutely right. But with no fans, it certainly helps, like in Seattle, in Minneapolis, in Arrowhead. It's going to matter at some point. It might not matter for Seattle in this round because their crowd helps out so much. But when you're facing a Rams team, when Jared Goff is not even close to 100%, they didn't run the ball very well, and their passing offense was very mediocre. And you know, with Seattle, yeah, they can get passed on, but it's Russell Wilson and Jalen Ramsey might be able to cover DK Metcalf, which means Lockett, David Moore, they have to step up and get a lot more touches and make sure that they win this game.
By the way, nice Russell Wilson, though, if you saw that. Russell Wilson called an audible in the regular season.
Finale. Yeah, so David Moore could get
David Moore. Yeah. So one more, like he needed one more reception or whatever.
Yeah, the shovel pass.
Yeah, and
which isn't well, or the shuffle pass, whatever you want.
Whatever you want to call it.
Shuffle.
It doesn't matter.
No.
Let's go to the primetime Saturday night, and as predicted, Tom Brady's playing in the game.
The Buccaneers and the
football team. Bucks 11-5, wild card number one, traveling to...
That sounds familiar.
Traveling...
What? Just because this is me nerding out, but last playoff game the football team won was against Chris Sims and the Buccaneers in 2004.
Chris Sims.
In the wild card game. Just saying, the same two teams except fast forward 16 years.
Really against Chris Sims?
It was against Chris Sims and the Buccaneers.
I think the Bucks have
convicted felon was a starting quarterback.
You think the Bucks have upgraded that starting quarterback since that game?
That Brady guy's pretty good, I think.
And Alex Smith, the Alex Smith comeback player of the year award.
Just give it to him now.
Great story.
Just give him his leg crutch as the comeback player of the year award. You see what his wife did with his crutch? They had the Super Bowl trophy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I saw that.
Just saying.
Great story. Hopefully Smith will be able to play. Taylor Heinicke of Old Dominion. God. May play.
Drink one on him.
Bucks are the sixth ranked defense in the league, but the almost said it. Almost. But the football team.
I mean.
Hey, Al Michaels did it last week.
Right. He did it multiple times.
Right.
Beep, 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 beep.
Right. Todd Bowles for the Bucks interviewing for another head coaching job with Atlanta.
Why? I wonder why Houston didn't interview Eric Bieniemy, because they didn't.
It's Houston.
That's true.
They don't run things very well,
Watson
though.
Watson might demand a trade, you know, it's just, you know, whatever.
Jack Del Rio, who's the coordinator for the football team.
Right.
Has them rolling. Look, Washington can't score. That's pretty well apparent.
I mean, they rely on their running backs, one receiver, and one tight end.
But the Bucks lead the league in rushing defense. They give up just about 80 yards a game. Washington can't run the ball. Washington can't make big plays on offense. I love Alex Smith. God love him. But Terry McLaurin.
He's good. Now, he's good, but.
My new favorite tight end, Logan Thomas.
Logan Thomas.
The animal. May catch a ball or two. But in the end, I just think the Buccaneers have too much. And that's a big line.
How much is it?
Bucks are 9.
9.
This is a tough one. But even then, I think the Bucks. It's the type of the game where the Bucks are coming out looking to make a statement.
But this is Brady in the playoffs. I take the 9 points.
You're going to take the Bucks and the 9?
Bucks and the 9.
How about the over or under 45?
I think the football team will score enough to push it over 45.
Really? Okay. I don't think so.
I think this may be a 28, to 21. No, mate, no.
I don't think so. I'm taking the. I'll take the Bucks, but I'm going to take the under.
Yeah. I'll take the under. Not to mention it.
Okay.
I'll take the under.
Bucks in the nine.
Slightly under. They'll push the over, but under.
I see this being like about 21-10.
Fair.
So I think the fair. Bucks will win with that. So. Sunday. Afternoon early. Ravens 11-5 at the 11-5 Titans. Touchdown,
Titans!
Wait,
is this Lamar in the playoffs against Derrick Henry? Done.
This has been done before.
Titans.
Last year, as a matter of fact, Titans 28, Ravens 12. Not good.
Titans have won the past two meetings.
Earlier this year, Titans 30, Ravens 24 in overtime. Derrick Henry scores the winning touchdown.
Till Lamar can throw the ball consistently, I'm taking the Titans every time.
Ravens are 3.5-point favorites.
Take the points with the Titans.
I think you're. I think then in this one, you're 54.5 seems like a lot of points to me though.
No,
especially with teams that run the ball a ton. Okay, I'm going to take what
they can still score. I'm taking the Titans in the over.
Titans in the over? Okay. I'm going to take the Titans in the under.
Okay.
Because both these games...
How does the scoring system work for this, then?
That's a point for the win and loss and a point for the over-under.
Okay, all right. Make sure. You're not cheating again.
When have I ever cheated? That's right, never.
Making sure you don't. You're already cheating by making another game here.
I'm cheating by making another game. Seriously. All right. So we're going, Ravens are 3.5-point favorites, so we're going Tennessee plus 3.5.
Yep.
All right. So I have got Tennessee and the under, and you've got Tennessee and the over. Okay. So I got the under, huh? Mm-hmm. All right. Run the ball. Lamar Jackson ain't one shit. We all know that I have a soft spot in my heart for Lamar and his shitty playoff performances. And we all know I do have a dangerous man crush on Derrick Henry for his ability to run the football, because I love running football teams.
Okay.
So, therefore, no question in my mind that I'll be taking the Titans in this one.
Right.
And now, a special musical interlude for the Sunday afternoon game, which is on CBS and... Yes, the Bears.
On Nick.
And the Saints.
On Nick. Again, why?
On Nickelodeon.
Why?
Complete with SpongeBob SquarePants. Wait for it.
Wait for it. Here you go, Sponge.
Here it comes. Yes, it's on Nickelodeon, if you want to watch it. It's there.
Just for all the young kids to watch, because you can watch all the funny animations they put during...
Apparently, I didn't even know this. They had done Packers and Saints a few weeks ago on Nick as a test run.
Beats me. I didn't see it.
Like, there's like flaming slime in the end zones and...
No, and like, you know, when weird. Like when you throw the pass, the slime's like on the slime's in like the back of the ball.
Yeah, and they get like the sound effect and stuff like that. I mean, and I guess Ian Eagle's kid is calling the game. Yeah, I don't know this.
Ian Eagle's kid?
Yeah, apparently his son is...
Didn't know he had a kid.
Yeah. and then Nate Burleson of Good Morning Football fame will be doing the color.
On NFL Today.
And apparently there's a pregame show with Von Miller hosting it. What in the actual hell is going on in this? You know, we may have to watch a few plays of that just to see how this looks.
He's a dead ringer, too, for his father.
Oh, I've seen them. Yeah, I've seen them. Oh, yeah.
He's a dead ringer.
Like, I think you and I look alike. That's just scary.
That is scary.
Google, what's this kid's name? Noah?
Noah Eagle, yeah.
Google Ian and Noah Eagle.
They look so... It's scary.
That's kind of creepy. You reminded me of how creepy that is.
That's just dead scary. Like, the glasses look the same. They're dressed the same. Like, it's just... The comb-overs look the same, and everything is just the same.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Wow. We look alike. That's incredible.
That's a whole other level of looking alike.
Oh yeah. I mean,
is that a YouTube clip?
No, it's just an image.
Oh, okay, I'm looking to see if they thought they had that.
Sounded alike.
Well, they do apparently, from what I'm told. Okay. But anyway, let's get to the actual football game.
Right.
Bears, 8-8, backing in as the final wild card. Up against the Saints, traveling to the Dome. Saints are 10-point favorites in this one. Bears 8-8 against the spread, 8-8 in your heart, 8-8 overall. Saints 12-4 in the year, 9-6-1 against the spread. Bears are the 26th ranked offense in the league and an 11th ranked defense.
But they scored 30 points in four straight games.
Against who again?
You, me, sound engineer, and
the ATA Taekwondo class.
And Joe Schobert.
Saints have the 4th ranked defense in the league. Looks like Kamara will play. Bears are not anything special on any side of the ball. They don't belong in the playoffs. It's a joke that they made it into the playoffs. I can't believe that this is
a team that lost 7 straight games is in the playoffs.
Saints are 10-point favorites with the over under at 47.
I'll take that and the over.
You can take the over. You think the Bears and the Saints combined are going to score 47? I don't think the Bears are going to score 14. Not on that defense. No, I don't think so. I think the Bears are going to get blown out of this game. I'll take the Saints and the under.
Under.
You're going under? Okay. We're both going Saints under?
Yep, under.
Okay. Got it. Saints and the under. All right. And the final game of the weekend, the Browns.
Browns-Vikings.
So, Kevin Stefanski, as you've probably heard, will not coach for the Browns. By the way, Steelers, 6-point favorite at home, Sunday Night Football, 47.5 over under.
Mike Tomlin is the quarterback for the Vikings, we know.
Yeah, that's not the Viking connection I was going for.
Okay.
So the sideline coach for the Browns on Sunday will be Mike Prefer.
Yeah, that's Viking special teams coach.
Former special teams coach.
The Vikings just fired their Marwan Maloof, their special teams coach.
Well, they said his contract wouldn't be renewed.
Which means getting fired. Your pink slip is on your desk.
But people forget Prefer has previous head coaching experience. He coached the one game when Zimmer had the bad eye.
Yeah, against the boys. Yeah. On a Thursday.
And Prefer, who made some... He and Chris Cluey used to... They didn't get along because Prefer called him some anti-homosexual thing or whatever.
Chris Cluey wasn't okay.
Chris Cluey was a little weird, but anyway. So Prefer... So Prefer coaching... His second NFL game and happens to be a playoff game.
Why is the special teams coach the?
Well, because he has head coaching experience.
No, but like when Zimmer was out for that game. Why like hey, I went in the special teams?
Well, because they need the offensive and defensive coordinators to do their respective jobs. Let's be honest, the special teams guy is like he's just there to get all fired up.
Yeah,
you know,
Mike Westhoff. You know, just
then, yeah. Between him and who was the Cowboys had a real wild gray haired special teams coach too. I can't remember what his name was. John Madden used to get a big stiffy about him.
I don't know who you're talking about. Or like John Fossil's kid, right? Like,
yeah, he was.
Yeah,
too.
He's like the best special teams coach in the league. And like, what's the difference between that special teams coach and that special teams coach?
There isn't one.
They teach the same thing.
Yeah,
why do you set up a wall?
They don't exactly have a ton to do.
Yeah,
so it's like, forget
do
that.
This, line up like this.
Run the fake punt.
Right.
When to run the fake punt?
No, that's Mike McCarthy's job.
Yeah, right. Good point. As I mentioned, Steelers are -6, 47.5. I remember that last week with everything on the line, the Browns only beat Mason Rudolph by 2.
They still won the game.
Yep. And the Steelers' offense is terrible. The 24th.
It's terrible.
Terrible. They have the worst rushing offense in the league. The Browns come into the game with the third best rushing offense in the league, but they are very mediocre as well. 16th ranked offense, 17th ranked defense. Pittsburgh blew their doors off earlier in the year, 38-7 when it meant something. Steelers still have a good defense. They still have TJ Watt, who led the league in sacks. They still have a very capable offense when it comes to throwing the ball with Roethlisberger back in. Tough for me to pick against Steelers, and again, it's under a touchdown. I think the Steelers win. I think they cover. Give me the Steelers -6. Over, under?
Over.
I think I'm going to take the over. I'm going to take the Steelers, -6 and the over.
I want to pick the Browns. I think they'll put up a really good fight, but I'm still taking Pittsburgh regardless. I like Cleveland, but I don't like them enough to pick them. But I still like them regardless, but I'm going to take Pittsburgh in the 6.
Okay.
And the over.
So, Our difference is on the Ravens Titans over under. And there's one other one, right?
Is there? I don't know.
There we Seahawks Rams, you were going under. Okay. Over in the first one, under in the second. I think the only thing we differ on is Ravens Titans. Then everything else we're the same on.
You bet the under?
I bet the under in Ravens Titans, yes.
Okay.
You've got the over.
Okay.
So there you go. Definitely. All right. So that's the National Football League week. Green Bay, you recall now, is the number one seed in the NFC, and Kansas City has the number one seed in the AFC, so they will get the lowest remaining seed of what comes out of this weekend, and we'll see how that all transpires. Because if the season ended last week, and it did, the matchups are not predetermined. It's just a matter of who finishes the lowest. So if the 7 seed, for example, wins, they're automatically going to be slotted into play against the 1 seed. So whoever the lowest seed is left, just so that you recall, Washington is the 4 seed despite having a crappy record. They're still the 4 seed in the conference.
Why does that have to work the way it does? Can we just have the 7 best teams and not by division?
That's a discussion for another day, my boy.
Just saying.
Discussion for another day.
They'll belong in the playoffs, but they're there. The Bears don't belong either. But.
No, they don't. You're correct. You're correct about that. You know what? We got to talk. On the 100th episode, we got to talk puck.
Okay.
So I had options for the lead into this segment.
Okay.
You, of course, you are most familiar with this as a hockey lead-in. Minnesota Wild Hockey with Anthony LaPanta. No?
Yeah, but not really.
Okay, so that's the one. The one that you really like, of course, is the current theme.
Not gonna see the lead in from this, but yeah.
The Flyers lead it 2-1.
You can't do that. Only Emmer can do that.
I could do Eddie Olczyk through. Well, that's a great person. And then Pierre Maguire in his little box. Of course, we all know that in hockey songs, though, there is, of course, the classic, which I always play in the hockey segments. Hockey Night in Canada. Hockey Night. Dun, dun, dun. Only the really hardcore Canadian. I'm expecting some Canadian audience out of this, but we haven't gotten any Canadian audience. We need to talk more puck if we want Canadian. No. And then, of course, the classic, the greatest hockey song ever written. The Hartford Whalers and Brass Bonanza. Great song. Hit it, boys. That's great stuff. This is like a game show final round.
Right?
Seriously, this is...
No, I'm not looking at the team where we dim the lights and then misplays.
Well, it seems like too up-tempo for that.
Right?
It kind of feels like...
It's like Final Jeopardy, this should be it.
No, you know what they should... You know what this is? This is like a scene in, like, a world in Super Mario Brothers you're trying to get through. Right? Where you're trying to get to the warp zone and find the mushroom or do something like that. That's what this reminds me of.
I guess so.
This part is in particular coming up is... Well, no, not this part, but... It goes into kind of like a game show 70s kind of funky theme here in a second.
Okay.
And you'll know it when you hear it. Here it comes.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, because there you go. Hey, you gotta love that organ. And it has this intense part here. There you go. Little horn. That's what they call it, brass? It's a great song.
Hit that horn.
Hit that horn. Got to get a new horn. Anyway, this is the old Hartford Whalers, which became, I believe, the Carolina Hurricanes after that. Yes. And Quebec Nordiques or whatever. But anyway, Hartford, baby. People love this song. One more time. Here we go. You like it. You're getting into it the more you hear it. We're going to keep this going while we talk about this segment. Anyway.
It's for a weird reason.
Though. Right. Because the NHL, of course, gets no play on our show. We're not talking about the actual games, mind you, because God forbid we're going to do that. But.
Well, but it's time for a quick cast grab with the NHL.
Absolutely. So the NHL, only going to play, 56 games?
Oh, my God.
They've realigned all the divisions. But not just in any way, ladies and gentlemen. The divisions are sponsored.
Presented by...
So let's go through the divisions in hockey. Not that you... They've changed the... Because of the pandemic, they have now created an all-Canadian division, which...
When you say division, you must say division presented right. by...
It's the Scotia NHL North Division. The of course, Scotiabank. Scotiabank, yeah, right, being right, the right. big up there.
Right.
We'll restart the segment there for that. The Scotia NHL North, all about the Canadian teams. Calgary, Edmonton, Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, Vancouver, and Winnipeg.
Right.
For you Wild fans, you'll need to keep track of the Honda NHL West Division, which includes the Ducks, Coyotes, Avalanche, Kings, Wild Sharks, Blues, and Vegas Golden Knights, which means every game for the Wild will be approximately 9:35 every night. And... literally, they're going to be playing in their own time zone once. Because they play the Blues.
And because they're in Minnesota.
Yeah. So, good luck. There'll be a lot of 9:35. Be prepared for a lot of late nights, Wild fans.
And
because,
I don't care regardless.
And it doesn't matter anyway.
I don't watch hockey.
Maybe you could discover the NHL Central. Oh, wow. Did I just do that? The Discover NHL Central. Hurricanes, Blackhawks, Jackets, Stars, Red Wings, Panthers, Predators, and Tampa Bay Lightning, the defending champs.
It seems like a lot to be in that division.
You would think so.
But why are they, but why are they in division with all the Pacific teams?
I do not know, because somebody had to be.
They're like, Wild, you're in the central part of the country. Get over there.
I guess. I couldn't tell you a good reason there.
No.
And lastly, my favorite, the Mass Mutual NHL
the
East
Mass
Division.
Mutual?
Yes, the Mass Mutual.
Flyers, Rangers,
you got
Devils.
Bruin Sabres, the Wrenches, for our good friend Corey in Fargo. The Devils.
Yeah.
Islanders, Rangers, Flyers, Penguins, and Capitals.
They're within like 50 miles of each other.
Yeah, that basically. So
it's a lot of bus trips.
Yeah, it's a lot of bus trips. Apparently, the NHL...
why did they do this?
Well, because ticket sales, suite sponsorship, concessions, and parking, 70% of league revenue comes from those.
Oh,
last season, of course, they played 15% of its regular season without fans, or with fans, and obviously they didn't get much money. Canada's closed its borders, so you can't really go in there. It'll be top four teams from each division, and hopefully they're thinking by the end of this regular season, they'll be able to have the fans in the stands again.
Right.
So, that's the plan there.
Quick cash grab.
Well, that's okay. I mean...
Just call them the regular division. Don't even stop sponsoring.
Well, they said it's a one-year thing.
It better be.
I hope...
It should be a six-month thing.
Well, I hope it's a one-year thing, because I really don't want to hear... And anyway, and because it's hockey and it's the 100th show,
yes,
we got to play some of these. Our boy, Randy Moeller, ladies and gentlemen,
now
hit it.
Back, lead to Rush, over the line, down the right side, finds it in the high slot, Stillman shot, rebound, and shoot, they score! Get in my belly! Here's Horton, over the line.
Horton, wait, my boy Horton.
Wrist shot, shoot, they score! Wilson! Frolik, top of the faceoff circle. Frolik. Back to Ballard. Back to McKay. Wrist
Dave
shot. Shoots, he scores! Bonarama! Here's Frolik again. He's set up. Another shot. He scores! I feel like taking crazy pills. Sendik again. Fires another shot. Open that. Stillman scores!
Stillman.
Do you mind if we
dance with
your
dates?
Stillman puts it right out in front. Turn rock shot by Frolik. He shoots. He scores! I had coffee with McCauley
an hour ago.
Into the high slot. Pelton and he scores! A one-timer by Billy Pelton. I'll have what he's having.
You know what? Are we past the Jay Bomeister era now?
He's got a seam. Finds Bomeister.
Oh, there we go.
Out in front and a shot there. They shoot. They score! I'm your
Huckleberry! I love that one. That's a good one.
Slot. Here comes Bomeister. He scores!
All of a sudden, Jay Bomeister can't be stopped.
Kelly Clarkson! And a beautiful skated out. Gets over the blue line. Puts his shoulder down on the left side. Bottom of the face. Faceoff circle over to the side. And they score! Center it out in front to Nathan Horton.
Horton.
King of the world, baby.
King of the world. That's Grant's favorite.
At the Panthers, a two-goal lead.
Grant loves King of the World.
He scores! Michael Frolik!
Frolik.
Look, kids! It's Big Ben! It's a hard hit in behind the goal. Forced to the far side. He's on his backhand. puts it back to the point. The Ballard is shot. He scores! Ballard from a one-timer. Mike Carr just hit a water buffalo.
Oh, national
back hand pass over in the far side. Weiss shoots. He scores! We've got ourselves the
bleeder.
Right on in front. They should score. Michael Froelich with a turnaround shot. Got in behind Baron. Hey, welcome to Con Air.
He went from Froelich to Froelich later in the year.
He scores.
Jesus.
Jay Bomeister gets there we the go. Goal. 3-for-3 on the power play. Iceberg.
Get ahead.
Wrist shot through traffic. 4-7-7. And they should score. David Booth. Right on the doorstep. Panthers get a power play goal. Oh, I can't believe it's not butter.
Oh, I love that. With Fabio. That's beautiful.
Now we got a delay call. It's going to go against the Penguins. Panthers going to run, shoot. They score! Radek Dvorak on the doorstep. Oh, my God. They killed Kenny. Richardson goes in. Gets it to Booth. He scores! David Booth has got the hat trick.
Oh, yeah.
The hat trick for David Booth. Whip it.
Whip it real good.
Now we're back to play by fire. They're putting the punch. Corey Stillman scores.
Jeez.
Ding. Flies are done. Ding. Flies are done. Froelich with a wrist shot. Pat save. Rebound. The Jude scores. Richard Zednik.
Richard Zednik.
I would do anything for love, but I won't do that.
That was so
oh,
good.
Oh, Billy, that's like a bad haircut. It affects the whole family.
Oh, that's so good.
No, my favorite's not on there. Mama cooked the breakfast. We can't find that one anymore.
Well, I didn't know that. Well,
because Levitar, I think they deleted most of them.
Levitar's been deleted pretty much from ESPN now, too. He's a little done with everything.
Did they fire him or did he leave?
No, I think they mutually agreed that it was time for everybody to part ways.
Which means
I've never been a huge Levitar guy. He's a little too woke for me. But you know the thing about Levitar, man, he was willing to take some risks, and it was funny.
Yeah.
But eventually, that shtick kind of catches up with
right.
it. I mean, let's be honest. Dan's going to make a lot more money off his 100 episodes than we are.
Right.
So, Kent, you got to give him his props.
Remember Quincy Patterson? He's here. So, he's on the NDSU campus.
Why are we jumping ahead to Vizen football?
Because I want to.
Well, we're going to move into... We had a show order here, and we have to talk about basketball now.
It's fine.
Okay. Remember who's the producer of the show?
Yeah, you all right to produce the show?
What do you think setting up your funny bits here, by the way? Bison basketball. Home game.
Yay!
Home game
they
against...
finally get a home game.
Omaha.
Against games they can win. All right.
Wow. We haven't talked, you know, for longer than a couple minutes about Bison basketball this year. So, Rocky Cruiser, baby. 13 a game. And
with the top of the key three, like
shooting 43% from beyond the arc, and he's playing like a big dude now.
Right.
They're very well spread out. They got four guys that are in double figures. You got Cruiser at 13 a game, Edie at 12, Griesel playing point.
That's a good thing.
At 10.5, and Malik Harden Hayes at 10.2, and it's the guys you don't know very well. Jarius Cook, who I frankly had never heard of.
I heard of.
Well, you have. But averaging 8.2 a game, playing real well. Grant Nelson has become, you know, Dr. Dunk, Fly Slamma Jamma guy.
Ah.
Look out for him. He's going to be... He's athletic, as
they
say. No,
but the Cruiser Dunks against TCU, those were the best ones.
Was that TCU or Kansas? TCU. TCU?
Okay. I mean, he ain't doing that against Kansas.
No. Jackson Notek has played all right, too, off the bench. And then you got, like, Skunberg and McKinney. Tyler Witz is... not played very much. I don't know if that's...
Because Cruz is probably playing pretty well.
Because Witz sucks? I don't know. He's averaging a point a game. Man.
Well, he's just there to get fouls.
Yeah, well, that's true. Bison are actually... They're doing a lot of things well. Obviously, their scoring is a little bit, you know, deceptive because they've been beaten by some better competition. But most importantly, Bison are shooting almost 75% at the line. They're out-rebounding opponents basically by 5 a game. The one thing they're not doing quite as well is taking care of the ball. That's what bothers me.
Well, they are a younger team now.
Right, and I get that. And so they don't turn the other team over quite as much. Now, that defensively, that'll get better as they play more in the Summit League.
Right.
And, again, they've played some difficult opponents, there's no question. I mean, when you're going to Creighton and Kansas and TCU, you're not going to win those games. But pretty comfortable wins against Western Illinois. looks like they're going to be on track to be at the top of the conference again, right. At least fighting for the right. conference title. I don't know. You've seen them a little bit this year. Is this a team that can make a tournament run?
I think they can. I want to see them if they can go to Frost and win. Frost's SDSU
right. arena.
Nobody's beaten them there in God knows how many years. I think they've gone 3 or so years without losing at Frost arena. It's just so annoying. If they can go there and win, no fans obviously, but if they can go there and win, they got a legit shot to win this conference, not just let them make a tournament run. How many did they lose by against the Jacks and at the Pentagon? It's about like a point.
You mean when they played in that goofy tournament? Two. They lost by two.
Lost by 2 points against the favorite to win the conference. They were projected to finish third, right? Preseason?
Right.
They can beat Oral Rapids. I know they can beat the Rabbits. And UND looks like a nightmare this year. Albeit not against great competition. Against a better competition right now. And the Yotes look mediocre right now.
Yeah.
Hey, Mude's having a good year, but nobody else really is.
Jackrabbits lost to Montana on their home floor.
Oh, they lost? They lost home game?
In 2018.
Oh, 2018. Okay, so it's been 2 years?
Yeah, there was a 714-day span. Where 28 home. There's a streak between January 17th, or January 7th of 2017, and then the Grizzlies went in and beat them in 2018. I don't know if they've
lost since.
Lost.
I remember the Bison being there like 4 years ago, but that was a while ago. When they did beat them there. I can't remember what year it was.
It was 2016.
Yeah. When Paul Miller was still there?
The second longest streak in there. But yeah, that was the last. I don't see that.
Somebody has to beat them there at some point.
Well, and you would think that at some point the talent level would drop off. But it hasn't, and they're going to be.
But they recruit like Bison. I don't think that they recruit like Bison football does, but they recruit some of the best power schools.
Mm-hmm.
Your Kansas, your whatever schools, your Duke.
Right.
But they schedule. They get some of the best mid-major kids.
Right. Agreed. So we're looking ahead, and of course it's going to be tough to say definitively until a few weeks from now how the Bison are going to be viewed in the league, because they won't really play any of the power conference teams that are expected to contend.
Mm-hmm.
The schedule is rather front loaded, rather fortunately. Omaha does not look very good.
Private
Pile and Omaha did not play well the first weekend. And then they get UND for the weekend series at UND.
They haven't looked good this year.
And then they have Denver. And then they have Kansas City. The Ruse. So the Bison's advantage here this year is that the schedule is very, very fortunate for them.
Right.
It is not inconceivable that the Bison could be 10-0, 9-1, 8-2 in Summit League play.
And your other losses are to, teams that are winning.
Well, if you give North Dakota the benefit of the doubt and say they'll split with North Dakota just because it's a rivalry.
All right.
They play two at home against Denver.
Chalk those up.
Kansas City is not very good.
Chalk those up.
But then their last six. Oral Roberts at home.
Jacks.
South Dakota State at home. Again, these are these two-game weekend series.
Did they go at Frost this year?
They do not go to Frost this year. And they go at South Dakota. So
the Yotes haven't looked very good this year.
The Yotes have not, and the Bison already beat them once. The UND game was a struggle.
Yeah, but that's rivalry.
But to me, this looks like the Bison have an opportunity to go 12-4, 11-5, and that should at least get you a top two seed, because we always talk in the Summit League about staying off that 3-4-5-6 line.
Well, the Bison have never won 3 straight Summit League titles. They usually...
Well, that was a good time for that.
Or like, okay, 2009, they win their first one, they don't win another one for a... There's a big gap. They go like
right.
2014, then they win 2 straight. There's a gap. They win 2 more in a row. It seems like there's always a couple good years, and there's a lot of... Like maybe you get to the title game, or you fall short of it.
They're just years that look like they're rebuilding. This team looks really young, but a team that can make a really deep run. Maybe win the summit again.
I think, again, any of these teams, honestly, I think NDSU, USD, SDSU, and Oral Roberts can all win this conference tournament.
The Yotes won.
Well, if they got...
they're only a good player.
Well, but that's what I mean. Again, all you need is one hot weekend, and you win.
Right. So. But it's just like... But Amudi is the only player who stands out.
Well, we'll see. I think we need a few more weekends of conference play to kind of get an idea of who we got there. Bison women, by the way,
they are making so much.
Well, they were, and they had one of those games against Western Illinois that you're like, yeah, we probably should have expected one like that.
But then they kicked their ass.
Right. Now they lost by 12, then they came back and won by 33. And Omaha is not a very good team. North Dakota is not very good. Again, the same schedule issue with them. That will get tougher as they get, again, Oral Roberts, South Dakota State, South Dakota. Again, this is set up well for Jory Collins' team to go in.
I saw Jory the other night. We were Ben's Taekwondo.
Oh, yeah?
He was his kid's there.
Oh, really?
He's in the class before Ben.
Well, he should have gotten an interview.
No.
He could have been the first podcast kid. We're still 100 shows and we still haven't had a guest.
Well, you had one, but...
Yeah.
Corona. You claim to have one, but...
Stupid Corona. Anyway. All right, so we did talk briefly that the NCAA tournament is going to be held completely in Indianapolis this year. Right. So they're going to play at Butler Fieldhouse and Bankers Life Center.
Bankers Life Fieldhouse.
Whatever it's called.
They're all Fieldhouse.
Assembly Hall.
I love Assembly Hall.
The Purdue, what is it?
It's just the wherever Purdue plays.
Wherever Purdue plays. So we got all these that's West Lafayette,
Lucas Oil,
right? And they're going to play games like at all these places. But according to the schedule, the first four, you know, not going to be not going to be in Dayton. It's going to be played somewhere within Indianapolis
area.
There's
only one site for the first four.
I have a proposal for the NCAA. All right, you can't tell me this wouldn't be a great way to do it. And I'm going to tell you what. And I'm going to do it with music because you'll know where we need to play. You know where we need to play the first four this year? We need to play it at Knightstown, Indiana.
Damn right.
And you know why we need to play it at Knightstown, Indiana? Hoosiers, baby. Hickory High School and Terhune. Put the first four in the Hoosier Gym in Knightstown, Indiana.
Obviously,
on the small floor. Jim Nantz calling the game with
Grant Hill
and Bill Raftery. In Knightstown, in the Hoosier Gym, Norman Nail going, wait a minute, with Jimmy Chitwood.
It would
be so great. Ollie, they could bring back all the Hoosiers guys. They could bring like the barbershop quartet that sings the national anthem before the state championship game. I'm telling you, bring the first four to Knightstown. One-time opportunity to do this, all right? Get Raid Butcher, get Dennis Hopper out there. Is he dead? I forget. Gene Hackman, get them all in there. And let's play a little doubleheader in the first four. If the Bison got in or the 16 seed and got to play there, I would root for that so hard. Can you imagine how much... And the refs could wear those kick-ass gray pants.
Yeah, or sweatpants.
Yeah, yeah. And then somebody could, like, ram somebody into one of those glass trophy cases and, like, patch him up.
And then a brawl breaks out.
Right. And then Jimmy Chitwood hits, like, the one-legged three-pointer at the top of the key.
I mean, it's not like you have any problems with fans, because there aren't any.
Right.
So...
Well, you can pack in at least 200 in that place, social distanced. The cool thing about that gym is they still have it pretty much exactly like they had it in Hoosiers. They've got the picture of the team up on the wall.
They still have the stage.
Yeah, right? And it says "Go Hickory," you know, Hickory High. Yeah. And apparently, like one of the guys, Jimmy Chitwood, turned out to be like some. I think he was a construction management guy in California.
Of course he was.
One of them, I think, Raid Butcher was a dentist.
Of course.
And a few of those, there was one guy that lost some eligibility in his real college because he played ball, got paid to act. But anyway, That is my modest proposal, ladies and gentlemen.
The NCAA will shoot that down.
Well, of course, but that's where it should be. I don't care. I don't think
that's
not
great.
They're not actually going to have it, but
I could see it like Assembly Hall because it's Assembly Hall, no. And then
you play it in the Hoosier Gym. You play Hickory against Terre Haute. Get the uniforms out.
Terre Haute.
No, it's Terre Haute.
Oh, that's
Terre Haute. Yeah, or Ulitic or any of these other cool. Okay. They played, let's see, in the movie they play like Cedar Knob, Ulitic, Bloomington.
South Bend Central. And all.
South Bend, the Mighty Bears of South Bend Central.
That's
with
a great
an,
name
with an
South
enrollment of 2,800.
That's anyway. A great name, South Bend Central. That's a great name.
This sounds like they would kick your ass,
yeah.
Wouldn't it? South Bend Central. Yeah.
And then, of course, they were like blue and gray
unis. Actually, they beat Linton, I think, in the semifinals, which is a North Dakota town, Linton.
Oh. Yeah, Linton.
Oh. Yeah, and I think they beat Terre Haute in the sectionals. I can't remember. It's been a while. I have to go back. Someone did like a box score of the championship game, like Bill Simmons did it. He figured that of the 40 points Hickory scored, 34 of them were by Jimmy Chitwood in that game. He had like some unreal field goal percentage or whatever.
Of course, he's Jimmy Chitwood.
He's Jimmy Chitwood. He's a legend. I'll make it.
I'll make it.
Buddy, get the ball to Jimmy, top of the key. Anyway, all right. Enough of that. 9 years ago today, before we wrap it up, this happened, and I think we all remember where we were when we were watching this play.
Over the middle, it's picked off. Travis back to the 30. It's a foot race.
He's going to score, right?
Comes back. Down at the 1 yard.
Damn you, Brian.
How the hell did Brian Bell catch him?
Because he's a slow linebacker.
Seriously. And Travis Beck with
Brian Bell can run the option pretty well, so he can run a little bit.
Travis Beck with the game-winning interception.
Again, how did he not score?
Yeah. Every time I watch that play,
I am
absolutely convinced that Travis Beck is going to score. No matter, Brock Jensen took it in on the next play, did the whole Aaron Rodgers discount double-check maneuver, and the Bison won the first national title 9 years ago.
That seems like a while ago now, doesn't it?
9 years ago today was the NDSU's first FCS national title. Of course, they go on to win a few more. This just in, they're good.
That was a decade ago.
Well, not quite.
Well, yes, it was.
Next year it'll be a decade. Because a decade is 10 years.
It's almost been a decade.
Correct. 9 years to today.
While we grow up too fast.
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
I hardly remember watching that game.
Well, there was a Facebook photo of you and your brother with the neighbors. Watch that game. You were a chunky little kid of, you know, 6 at the time.
I remember vividly watching the Illinois State one till now. I remember watching those like it was yesterday.
What's the earliest Bison game you remember watching? Curious.
In the stadium or?
No, just in general. What's the first memory of Bison football you have?
I'd have to say the 2012 semifinal with Georgia Southern.
Really? That's the first game you remember watching?
I can clearly remember from now.
Okay.
Just because, you know, Sheila, our good buddy that was next to me, I would scream all the time at games.
Right.
Right. When I wasn't able to control myself from Bison games. But that's, I remember, like, clearly being
Yeah,
asked.
By the way, let's talk about in the role reversal. I am now the one that cannot control myself with Bison games.
Oh, God, yeah.
I am terrible.
I have to contain you at times.
I know, I have to. I get a little upset with the referees.
Come on, ref! That's bullshit.
I do say that's bullshit because the Valley refs are...
Anyway. They're not inside. No, no, no. It's like being like a ref like the Southern Conference, and they don't know what the hell a pass is, so like,
yeah.
So they call passes for every play, someone gets touched. So.
Honestly, it's ridiculous.
But also, Quincy Patterson, he's on campus, so he's good. He's out of Chicago, or he's from Chicago, where he was in the offseason, and now he's here. He's at the Dome this morning, so...
Be interesting to see if he...
Is he eligible yet?
No, I don't believe he is for the spring season, but he... Come fall, if Zeb doesn't win a title, they're going to be calls for Quincy to be starting. I guarantee it.
If he does, though, he might be a draft pick, so...
Oh, for God's sake, really? He hasn't even been on camp. I mean, he just got to campus. Don't you want to wait?
No, not Quincy, Zeb.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, because if you're Bison quarterback, more like getting drafted now, so...
So we're going to be playing this a lot, is what you're saying? This is the theme from Quincy, the medical examiner show. Anytime Quincy has a big game, this song's coming on. Anyway, you're too young. You don't understand that.
Right.
Again, things... I'll take stuff I don't know because I'm too young for 100 on
but,
that one.
I mean, this is going to be really weird watching a quarterback that can't run real well. That's going to be weird.
It'll be different. There's no question about that.
I mean, your passing offense is going to be woo, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, if you have those kind of receivers, you should be doing a lot of woo.
And when you play in the Big 12, you might be able to pass the ball pretty well.
Yeah, I think the passing game will be okay. I think we might be able to run the ball still pretty well, though.
Yeah, we have a nice stable running backs that are really good.
And still trying to figure out who the offensive line coach will be, but I'm sure they'll get that, too. And amazingly, you know, camps just opened here not too long ago. The first FCS game, when we reconvene next week for show number 101, we'll be a month away from the first FCS game, assuming we're still on track for everything else.
Again, how many games in ESPN's going to cover?
I don't know. I haven't really heard any what their plans are to cover anything.
What's the major sporting event in February other than the Super Bowl, of course?
NCAA basketball.
But it's just conference tournaments.
There won't be anything else to watch.
Right. So, getting Fowler and Herbstreit to do a game in Fargo would be absolutely
Once you get Fowler and Herbstreit to do the FCS title game, that would be great.
That would be amazing if they did.
That would be fantastic.
Listening to Herbstreit do it.
You know what? If it's expensive, do it from home. Well, I'll take Fowler in his home studio.
Listen, Fowler's the best announcer we have field, and he is amazing at his job. I'd love to see him cover a
He's really good. Well, maybe I wonder. I'm sure game day's done for the year.
Prime time at the Dome with the Jackson down. Like, who wouldn't want to watch that game?
Maybe we'll get Jamu in here.
No.
You don't want to play Jamu, do you? You don't like playing Jamu?
No, because those are the games I'm on the edge of my seat for.
JMU lost
the rest of them, I can just...
JMU lost the running back coach, by the way, so they're not... We're devising the only one. Who cares about
you? Who cares? It's just... Because for games, you know they're going to win by the end of the first quarter. If you're sitting like this for the second half, you're just sitting back, chilling, you're like, oh, okay, the other team scored. Great, who cares? It's like, we're going to score again anyways.
The arrogance, ladies and gentlemen, why Bison football is so loved, as evidenced in the last 30 seconds.
I love kicking people's asses regardless
Well, don't worry. At some point here during January, the epic loudmouth rant about the Bison and FCS and FBS, I will have it all written out.
I can't wait for that.
And that will be...
That's the show I'm looking forward to.
That's going to be like a half hour uninterrupted of me talking about why Mike McFeely is wrong, which really doesn't take that long.
But he gets you going when he wants to get you going.
He does get me going. And... He's wrong, and I will break down in detail why he's wrong at that point. Because, again, the loudmouth plan is to sit tight and wait for it to come to you rather than you having to spend money to go get it. All of this will be revealed on a future show, but not this one.
Could it be Monday?
Not yet. We have the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. Check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com. The links to our previous shows and why in 2021 Coastal Carolina will and continue to always perpetually suck. Grant, how do we find you?
They're coach of the year. Shut up.
Follow
us on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram. @AgrantLegend1. Follow me on TikTok. @AgrantLegend. Follow us on Instagram. @Legend_Loudmouth_Pod. There's @Legend_Loudmouth_Pod. You know, if you like to hate the show, we don't care. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel.
What's our Instagram? My Instagram? Mark.Hubbard.908 or something like that?
908, yeah.
Sweet. All right. Do we have a TikTok?
No. Just mine.
Okay.
We don't need to see you dancing, so...
Well, I want to do some of those. I want to do the bleeping.
I don't even know them, so...
That's all right.
I can't do one.
I'll have to ask Mrs. Loudmouth about that on the TikTok side. That's not my thing. Time to go. We'll see you Monday on The Legend and The Loudmouth.